It is Staying Gang podcast time, and we're starting to turn the page and we begin our weekly podcast with Justin Leslie to talk men's basketball. Hope you'll be with us every week. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast, and be sure to be at Lincoln Coliseum this Friday afternoon as Midwestern State tips off the regular season, and they'll be playing two schools from the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. And it'll start with Colorado State Pueblo on Friday. A game scheduled to begin at 1:30, following the women's game that starts at 11:30. So you had a chance to see your team. I know you had played a couple of scrimmages before the exhibition that was open to the public at Lincoln Coliseum against East Texas Baptist. Where is your team? Because it seems like it's been a long preseason because you made the overseas trip to Taiwan. It seems like it's been a long build-up to this Friday.
Yeah, it certainly has been. But there's been just a ton of growth and development that's happened throughout the course of that time. That you know, the spring after last season, you know, was a time for, you know, a lot of soul searching, a lot of, you know, evaluating, you know, in the program and the conference, like what we need to do to, you know, put ourselves in a position to be successful. And so, you know, getting that international trip was a huge priority for us as we went into the summer. And I think it went about as well as we could have hoped. And it really led us into the fall where I think the guys came back with just a great chemistry and team identity that, you know, they wanted to continue to grow and build. And so throughout the preseason and, you know, into these scrimmages and exhibitions, I think that we've been able to make a lot of strides in developing the way that we want to play. You know, a little bit more active on defense, you know, still mixing them up as we always have, but trying to find ways to get some easy scores. You know, one of the kind of old coaching cliches is that easy baskets are really hard to get. There's a lot that goes into creating those. You know, biggest piece is recruiting good players, having enough good players. They usually find ways to make baskets, and then as a coach you got to put in a scheme that helps find a few other easy ones so you're not out there grinding, having to just over manufacture points on every possession.
So I kind of want to go back to the spring. You were talking about you did the evaluation. Mm-hmm. What did you come up with? What were some of the thoughts that you had as you look back and forward?
Well, the biggest one is kind of my method throughout my career was always go with the high school kids, redshirt them, develop 3, 4, 5 year guys, you know, take advantage of graduate programs, things of that nature. Well, then the pandemic hit, you know, the extra NCAA year, the additional transfer waivers, all of that, the landscape of college basketball has just completely changed. And so we've found ourselves the last couple years too young. You know, we're consistently going against guys that, you know, there are few teams in our league that they only brought players in that were over 22 years old, right? And it's not that they're getting more talented players, but there's just something to be said for being older. So we had to get older. We had to get taller and longer. And we also, you know, had to address the fact that, you know, Lone Star teams are very physical. They force you to be able to make shots from the perimeter. So that requires us to go out and recruit some guys who can consistently make shots from the perimeter and, you know, hold defenses accountable for that style of play. And so I think that we were able to do that in the course of our recruiting cycle. And then once we got all those pieces in place, then it was just a matter of fashioning a style that maximizes their abilities.
And what's that style going to be as you see it today?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think first and foremost, it's less of me and more of the players, right? They're offensively just trying to give them basic spacing and framework concepts to play within and then trusting them to make more plays. You know, now, again, small sample size, international play, scrimmages, exhibitions, but our turnover numbers have been significantly lower. You know, simplifying the playbook, so to speak, I think has really been helpful for them, making, you know, it's the old kind of zone read, you know, in football. Yeah. You know, it's like make your first read and then just commit to it and go. Don't overcomplicate things. And I think that's been one of the things that's been helpful for us, you know, as we put things in. You know, and then additionally, I think we have a lot of guys on the roster who merit playing time that are good enough to compete in the Lone Star. Going out there and bringing in as many talented players as we did, there's a significant push for playing time and competition amongst the roster. And so we had to have a style of play that utilizes our depth, whereas last year we were trying to, you know, hide our lack of depth as we got in there. So that lends itself to being a little bit more aggressive running the floor on both sides of the ball. And, you know, ultimately I think it'll be a lot more fun for the fans too.
It seemed like you got more fast breaks in the exhibition game that I saw on Sunday against East Texas Baptist, more layups. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of it is just simplifying the offensive scheme. You know, providing driving lanes. So they were able to get that. But additionally, our defense was good in terms of, we forced 14 turnovers. I'd love to force a little bit more, to be honest. I don't think that was enough. However, they're a good team, had good guard play, so they weren't just going to cough it up
right.
on accident. But when you do get a team to turn it over, especially in a live ball situation, you know, the first 6 seconds are the highest shooting percentage and most efficient time in offense. So if you get a live ball turnover, you need to convert that before they have the opportunity to set their defense.
I'd ask you this in the postgame show, but for those who didn't listen on Sunday for the exhibition game, first of all, shame on you. But second of all, when we talked last year, going into these two games, you were going on the road last year to play Pueblo and Colorado Springs. They're coming here this year. You had said you can tell a lot about a team in this time frame when you're playing these types of non-conference games. Do you still feel that way, and what are you expecting to see this weekend?
Well, absolutely. I mean, these games mean a lot. These are the games that you're going to be looking back to at the end of the season, these, you know, in-region conference challenge crossover games where you need to find a way to win, not just for your own benefit, but also for the benefit of the conference as we're trying to get NCAA tournament bids. And the players know that's all on the line, right? And that we're not just going out there feeling it out. Like, no, we're competing to win this opening weekend, and there needs to be a sense of urgency from all of us, you know, coaching staff down through, you know, every man on the roster, of doing everything they possibly can to prepare to be at their best this weekend. And so if we don't come out energized, focused, and ready to compete. I mean, execution is never going to be perfect in an opening weekend of a season. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
However, that you should see the level of competitiveness, of fire, you know, that resolve and grit that this is just a meaningful game that requires every bit of our focus and attention.
I know when we talked in the postgame show on Sunday, we talked about the first half. You said the guys tried to do it their way. You kind of corrected the course at halftime.
Yeah.
Would you expect a better first half against Pueblo on Friday?
Well, boy, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. I mean, you know, we reviewed it yesterday at practice and then in film. I'm like, okay, guys, what was the message at halftime? It wasn't anything overly complicated. It wasn't brand new X's and O's. It was, no, commit to our fundamentals. You know, commit to the things that matter for us. And, you know, I mean, we held a team for, I don't know, was it 6 or 8 points in 12 minutes. I mean, that's what we can do if we are all bought in. We don't need someone to come out and punch us in the mouth, you know, and get us off balance to gather ourselves and refocus. Because if you do that against quality competition like we're going to face this weekend, you know, you're not down, you know, 4 or 5 at halftime. You're down 15 to 20, and that's probably too big of a hole to get back out of.
I was looking a little bit at Pueblo. It looks like it's a much different team than what you saw last year in Pueblo.
Yeah, it's a very different roster. I mean, you know, we had the opportunity to see them, you know, play an exhibition at New Mexico a couple weeks ago, and it is a very different roster. You know, they had another guy that was out, a transfer from South Dakota Mines, who didn't play in that one, but it's a completely different look. Ironically, you know, there's some guys that, you know, going back as far back as my time in California that I recruited and looked at. Very familiar.
Wow.
Yeah, very familiar.
Well, I noticed they do. They have about a half dozen guys from California.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in addition, there were, you know, some transfers that we looked at, you know, in this spring recruiting cycle as well. So there's a little bit of familiarity with who they are. You know, they've got a very, very talented roster, but it's a new roster without a lot of continuity. So they're going to be, you know, when they step on the floor, they're going to have a very, very good group of basketball players and team there. Really, the X factor is with the new roster, you know, kind of similar to us. You know,
I was going to say, this sounds very familiar.
There are a lot of new faces, and really it's going to be who puts it together and gets the group, you know, cohesive and pull in the same direction first. I think that's really going to be the test on Friday night. Both teams are going to feature very talented, quality rosters. Now it's a matter of how do they play together? How do they, you know, commit to those fundamentals and details on both sides of the floor and execute, I think, is going to be the deciding factor.
So who do you expect to start off strong for you?
Well, you know, in terms of individual players?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know.
And in terms of starting the season, not starting against Colorado State.
Yeah, Pueblo. I mean, obviously, we're gonna lean heavily on, you know, a couple key returners to just set the tone. I mean, Pierre Sanders has been here with us for a long time, and he knows the drill. I mean, poor guy's, you know, just had some adversity here in the preseason, you know, some random things. I mean, gets hit in the eye the other night and, you know, only gets to play 8 minutes, and it's like, well, gosh. So he's had a few bumps along the way, but that enabled us to lean on, you know, Mechi Chukwu a little bit more. And I think for him, although he's was out all of last year, he's still a returner who understands the Lone Star, who's competed at a high level and produced in this conference. You know, he's had a fantastic preseason and offseason. And so, you know, he'll be one that I think we can just, you know, count on as an anchor on both ends of the floor. And then, you know, after those two, I mean, there's an entire slew of very talented players that are going to impact the game in different times. You know, I mean, Reggie Hill, Will Shepard, Bakari Lestrap, John Gaines, Austin Lewis, these guys have all come in and produced at a very high level, you know, in stretches or in different games. You know, we've had, you know, there'll be 17 and one, then five in the other, or 18 and then seven. A lot of that's matchup dependent. And sometimes it's just with the depth of our team. You know, we had John the other night. I mean, I think he had 6 or 8 just in a 2 or 3 minute stretch, just put a run together.
He scored 10 points in the final 3.5 minutes of the first half, and he finished with 18 points in 19 minutes.
Yeah. And so, you know, and like I had to talk with him yesterday. I'm like, you know, his, I think, especially early in this season, you know, there's going to be some of those ups and downs, like where, you know, you're going to have 5-10 minutes where you're just kind of figuring out the flow of a game because it's all new to him. I mean, and you know, this level, the expectation, the details, you know, he's going to have some of those times where it looks like he's just out there treading water, figuring it out, and then boom, he just explodes and he goes and does something like that. But I think that's also similar for guys like Austin and Will and Reggie. You know, Bakari, I think, is going to develop a little bit more of a consistent level of production just with the type of player that he is. You know, but those other guys, you know, specifically their shooters, you know, and shooters, I mean, they go out there and make 2 or 3 threes, and all of a sudden, you know, the dynamic of a game can completely change.
Well, Reggie, for lack of a better phrase, he looks like a Lone Star Conference player.
Yeah. Reggie's a good basketball player. I mean, he's got the, you know, the size, the length, the athleticism to match up with pretty much anybody across the floor. Scores around the basket, but can also stretch it. You know, he's a guy who can get a rebound and
can get up and down the floor pretty well.
No, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, he's someone that I have no doubt is going to, you know, have a big impact on a lot of games this year for us.
And Will shot the three really well against East Texas Baptist.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, we talked about it. You know, he went seven. He got 17 points on 10 shots, which, hey, that's really good. Well, he went 3 for 4 from three, but the numbers say you're not going to go 3 for 4 from three. What I was more pleased with, it's, let's say you only went 1 for 4 3. Will, he would have 13 points on 10 shots still. You know, or I'm sorry, 11 points on 10 shots. Like, he's still, like, in the positive in that situation because he got to the basket, because he got to the free throw line, and he was involved in the play. I mean, that's a young man that, you know, he's 6'9", 225. Like, he's always been a spot-up shooter. And I'm like, there's so much more to your game that you just haven't even explored yet. And just getting him to get that belief and comfort in himself that he can go out there and produce far beyond just making a three-point shot. I mean, he's a player that has not even scratched the surface of what he can become.
You think we'll see him go deeper than that over the course of this season?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, I don't ever want him to lose his identity as a shooter. I mean, he's got that green light, but I want him getting in the paint and mixing it up. I mean, I want him to go in and be a guy that we can steal cheap baskets with on mismatches. You know, I mean, I think, you know, with some of our frontline combinations, teams are going to have to make a choice about who they put on Reggie, Machi, Will. Somebody's going to have a small defender on them, and it might mean you're just going in and crashing the boards and getting some putbacks. You're just running the floor, getting a couple, you know, cheap layups. Again, those easy baskets are hard to get. Yeah. You got to run hard and crash hard and work. And but then also there are going to be opportunities for them to seal and post up. So, yeah, that's where he's an exciting player. So Reggie's an exciting player because – you know, Austin Lewis, you know, he's 6'10", and he can shoot the snot out of that thing, you know.
And he can block shots. We saw him and Duncan blocking shots.
Yeah, no, he's a rim protector. He got, you know, he didn't make a shot in the exhibition, but he got 10 rebounds. It's like, you know, how great is that when you have someone who's a shooter who's not making shots, but he's still impacting the game without making a shot? I mean, I was really proud of him for doing that on Sunday night.
It's something I probably should ask you about, but you should be pretty good on the boards, right?
We better be. I mean, you know, the – One of the traps with teams that are long, that are athletic, is they just assume they're going to be good on the boards, right? And at the end of the day, rebounding is about desire. It's about pursuit. It's about that grit and that toughness.
And we see that with your guard, Pierre Sanders. Exactly, we see him go in with the big guys and get rebounds all the time.
That's exactly right. And so that's what we need to work to develop. We can't take that for granted. And, you know, I'm going to give a shout-out to, you know, my new assistant coach, Donald Hedge. He's really taken it upon himself to make sure that these guys understand that. And he is beating that into their head every single day, you know, and just bringing that element of toughness and resolve that we need.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Coach Hedge. Talk a little bit more about him. He's a guy that Wichita Falls basketball fans are probably familiar with, but others may not be as familiar.
Yeah. You know, Coach Hedge has been at Hershey High School for a long time. You know, I think over 20 years. His level of success has been just fantastic, you know, consistent winner. And his teams have always been known for going out there and just having a bigger heart, competing. You know, just it's not always going to be pretty, but you're just going to go get in the fight. And his teams are scrappy. They rebound. They defend. You know, in our initial talks, I mean, he just, you know, just kept saying, like, that's my eye always goes to that defensive side of the ball, to those rebounding, to the intangibles. And I'm like, fantastic. Right. And so I'm giving him a lot of leeway to, you know, to make his mark on this team and on this roster with trying to instill that type of mentality.
Well, I was going to ask you, what do you see his role on the staff, and what attracted you to him, and what does it mean having him on your staff?
Yeah, I mean, really, it was those things, on the floor. But beyond that, you know, Coach Hedge is just a good man that cares about investing in young men, and he's just got one of those. Voices and a presence about him that, man, he can get on him. He can go hard when he's coaching, but the players trust where it's coming from and they receive it really well. And so just having another voice that, you know, he's, again, more mature, more experienced, that can talk about life outside of basketball as well. I think that is just something that's been, you know, it's only been a short amount of time,
right?
You know, since we've started this summer, but he's already, you know, putting his stamp on things and making an impact with these young men.
Does his presence change your role at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's enabled me to focus on some other things. I mean, one of the things, just in, you know, my mentor coach Bill O'Dell would say, is, you know, you need to have differences on your staff. You can't have, you know, the same, you know, guy, the same type of guy with the same background, with the same, you know, you get groupthink, right? And you need to have, just again, some of the, you know, the diversity of characters and thoughts and just ideas and backgrounds. And ultimately, you know, that what that allows you to do is, every player just needs to have a contact point on the staff where they feel really safe and comfortable. And you know, promoting an environment to where there's someone that all, because I mean, naturally, I'm probably going to have three or four guys that I connect with the best. Coach, you know, Coach Weitzel is going to have, you know, three, four guys he connects with the best, and so on and so forth. Well, you just need to have enough voices and people on the staff to where all those players have somewhere that they can go to get what they need. And I think that, you know, he fits right in being able to go out and, like, you know, right off the bat, there were just a couple players that he just kind of took a look at, cause he was pretty quiet, you know, those first week or two around. And he's just like, you know, I think I can make an impact on that guy's game. Like, he does, you know, A, B, and C. I think we need to switch this up and that up, and just kind of talk to him like, go right ahead. You know, you don't need my permission to go do that. I mean, trust your instincts. I trust your voice, and go make that young man better. And, you know, players, doesn't really matter their background or who, you know, where they're from, where you're from. If you're getting them better, they appreciate it. They know if they're getting better. Right. And that's a lesson I learned from being around a lot of NBA assistants. It's like, players can see through the fluff of what you're saying and all the words. They know if the substance is actually there or not. If they're getting better, they're going to listen. They're going to like you.
And I shouldn't just brush past Casey, because you guys have been coaching together a long time now. Just, you know, you don't have to go in depth, but just what is that relationship?
And
what does that mean to have a long time assistant coach that on the staff?
No, it means the world, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, Casey doesn't get enough credit. No assistant coaches do. But you know, he's the backbone of this thing that keeps everything together. You know, whether it's, you know, the administrative components, you know, we're scheduling classes, we're getting guys into school, you know, who's turned in this form or that form or had that shot. You know what I mean? Like, all those things, in addition to being a fantastic basketball coach, right? You know, I think this is going to be our 11th year together. And, you know, there's just nothing like having someone there next to you every day that you never have to question their heart, their loyalty, or what they're saying or doing out there. You know, there's not a conversation, whether it's in recruiting a player, you know, talking with another coach from another school or something with our own team, the message is on point. He just gets it. And, you know, I'm just blessed to have him, you know, and have him and his wife, Emily, and their kids with us here in Wichita Falls. You know, when I came out here, you know, he was the one that I tried to convince to come with me. And, you know, he took a big leap of faith doing that. And, you know, I'm just very grateful and thankful to have him.
And you'll get to hear Casey on the pregame show before every game. And it all starts Friday. Are you nervous about the start of the season? Excited? How would you describe your emotions going into the start of the season?
All the above. I mean, there's that little bit of like anxiety and anticipation that every coach and every
anxiety is probably the word I was looking for
at the start of a season. You know, have you done everything you were supposed to do? Have you thought of every possible scenario? And the answer is always no. I mean, it's not possible to have everything prepared. You know, all you can really do is the best that you can with what you have and the time that you've been given to this point. And so I feel a peace that this is the best fall, you know, that I've had in a really long time with the team, with the staff, and, you know, knock on wood, we're healthy. And, you know, Lord willing, we're going to go out there and just put our best foot forward on Friday afternoon.
Well, we look forward to it, Justin. I kept you a little longer than I intended, but I'm looking forward to doing the weekly podcast here. And I'm looking forward to doing basketball for the next couple months.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, Pete. Thank you.
And Justin Leslie joining us here on the Stang Gang podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast. And be sure to be at Ligon Coliseum Friday. The men play, scheduled to play at 1:30 against Colorado State Pueblo. And then Saturday night at 8 o'clock. They'll play their second game against Colorado Springs. We hope to see you at Lincoln Coliseum this weekend. Enjoying Midwestern State basketball. I'm Pete Stein. So long.